Okay, Simon, we are back, and this time round we are going to be speaking about AI.
Absolutely. This is going to be something of a special. We're going to do a whole session on AI. It's got a lot of traction at the moment. Everybody's talking about it. But this is very timely because the HSE have just announced a load of stuff about AI, which has kind of confirmed our thoughts on where things were going to go. And it's certainly very exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. I am excited. So let's start. How do you use AI at home? Let's start there.
So I'm using it more, a lot more than I was 12 months ago.
Yeah.
I'd say the best case of what I'm using it for right now is, like most people, my house has just accumulated stuff over the years, especially with having kids. I'm trying to get rid of it. So I'm selling a lot of stuff on eBay. And what I found was eBay was time consuming for things like getting titles in, descriptions, without it just sounding naff. So I've created a project where all I have to do is put a few photos in of the thing, and the AI tool will go away and research it for me, tell me what it is, tell me some cool facts about it, tell me what will help make it sell, but then it will give me a title and a description that are solid, and I just have to lift it out, put it into the listing, and it takes minutes now. So I can get stuff on far quicker and get on with the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's a big help.
What about you?
I mean, AI is my new best friend. It's who I talk to all the time nowadays. So if I have anything that I want to ask, then I'll speak to AI rather than speaking to maybe my wife. So I use it for creating my shopping list each week. So I've created a project, and before I go shopping, I go into my fridge, I take a picture, I go into the cupboards, take a picture, and based on the meals that we want to cook, it tells me what we're missing and what to buy.
Nice.
So, which is, really impressed by my own skill way, you know, so, yeah. but obviously today we'll look at and get into from a health and safety aspect.
So AI in health and safety at the moment, there isn't any particular rule book or anything like that.
No. Nope.
We know the HSE have just released some really interesting information on their website in June.
Yes.
But what's clear is it's still novel. It's novel technology. We're still learning the ropes with it. We're learning how it interacts with safety. And the HSE have said in there they are working on guidance, which is great because I think that will give us some real good clarity. But we are definitely still in the early days of considering AI in health and safety.
We are definitely in the early days. However, the interesting fact is that it is ultimately live, and the responsibility right now is on employers to make sure that they are managing the use of AI within their businesses, you know. So that's a scary thought.
Yeah.
That there's not any necessarily guidance and stuff that's been released, but you're responsible if AI has been used in your business right now.
And what we're definitely seeing as well is, even if the employer isn't actively using it, you know, maybe it's not something they're using by way of policy.
Yep.
People within the business almost certainly are.
Yeah.
As we've definitely talked about today, we're using it in our daily lives, but we know lots of people are using it for their day-to-day tasks whilst at work. So it's definitely out there, as you say. It's novel, but it's everywhere. And it's something people definitely have to consider right now.
I think so, and as you've stated there, is obviously that they're potentially looking at providing some sort of guidance on it. But interesting part of it, that AI will fall under the Health and Safety at Work Act, you know, which was obviously created in 1974. Yeah, it's still going to be used for something that was never in place. But it's because obviously that act is a goal act, so it sets out what the goal is and what you need to achieve. So that fits in really well with AI, because if you were maybe trying to create specific regulations, and we know how AI is moving, that to get that passed through in the time that comes into place is probably bypassed by AI and how it's used. So I just think it's very interesting that the Health and Safety at Work Act is what's going to cover AI, and ultimately it puts that responsibility on employers just now to make sure that their employees and anyone who may be affected by their work is ultimately safe. Okay, Simon, so we've obviously spoken a lot so far about AI, but I suppose a good question to answer is, what is AI?
Do you know what? It is a good question, because a lot of people think they understand it, but do we truly? AI in the traditional sense, the way we know it most often, is in the form of things like large language models. So there are many different providers of large language models that are used routinely now.
Yeah.
As you mentioned earlier, you're using them to ask questions. And I think that asking questions is how it is used most often. So they've got a large language model in the background, which is based off of huge amounts of data across the internet. And the AI is able to scrape that and produce a rationalized answer for you to whatever you posed as a question, but very intelligently. Mm. It's not true artificial intelligence. It doesn't understand what it is in itself. It's not aware, but it's almost like a web search, but super enhanced.
Yeah, well, I think that now is like most people will use that like their web search, like they're using the AI tool. Rather than necessarily going and using like Google or something like that.
Absolutely. And I think that's where a lot of people are seeing benefits in health and safety. So we see it a lot in sort of two key areas. One is asking for general advice. Mm. So a situation's happened, someone might go to one of these chat providers to ask questions about it. And basically use that as a reference point, use that as the source of information. And that's great because you can get answers quick. It can scrape the internet for lots of information, but it does come with risk, because often if you're using it raw out of the box, those parameters aren't set. So you could be getting information back that is from a blog, that is taken from a web article from the United States. And we've seen this.
Yeah.
We've seen stuff quoted in risk assessments that is actually American legislation.
Yeah.
We've seen it hallucinate. You know, I've seen it where people have referenced legislation that's pure and simply made up. Doesn't exist. And so it's really good for getting a good starting point and getting fast information.
Yeah.
But it comes with risk. And this is where I think the future, we are going to have a focus on critical thinking skills to scrutinize the information. And people should be with their their chatbots at the moment. They should be challenging the information that comes back. I think the other area we see it a lot at the moment is people using it to produce documents.
Mm.
So trying to produce risk assessments, produce policies, produce training materials. Again, it's fantastic at putting stuff together quickly, but it comes down to what you put in. Good in gives you good out, but you need to scrutinize it, because again, it could be pulling in information from sources and it's probabilistic as well. So it tries to infer what you're wanting out of it and give you a solid representation back, and it might be filling in blanks. So if you ask it for a risk assessment, it's going to make a lot of assumptions about what you do, and it might not be correct. It will look good. It could look fantastic, but does it truly reflect what's going on site? And that's where people like the HSE are going to be really scrutinizing it. They're going to be pulling those apart to say, this looks great, but is it actually relevant to you? Or is it leaving you with massive holes that you don't see? So I think that's where we see it most often, but there are other uses of AI.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing loads of different types of uses of AI and relating to health and safety. I know that there has been like surveys and stuff like that where it's been used in like construction, agriculture. You know, I was watching Clarkson's Farm recently.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed. It was pretty cool that they had got some of their equipment that was working off of like AI, and when they were like spraying pesticides, you know, there's equipment that's created that it's got like a live video feed, and it just identifies where the weed is, and it will spray the pesticide at the specific point of the weed rather than spraying everywhere. You know, so that's pretty cool. You know, it reduces the hazard to any sort of individual that may be there. But we're seeing it in many different use cases. We're seeing it where there may be cameras on like vehicles and stuff like that where it's operating. You know, you can see it in like forklift trucks.
Yep.
And it recognizes that there's someone in its parameter of where it's moving and detects that. So yeah, there's loads of interesting and cool use cases that we're seeing, and I believe that we'll just see more and more as time goes on. But as I say, the challenge with that is that the employer is the one that is using this technology is ultimately is in charge of making sure that the risk is controlled when they're using AI.
I think that's one of the interesting points, isn't it? Because AI is going to do so much to help control a lot of risks.
Yeah.
But it is a new hazard in itself.
Yeah.
Some of these we've had to consider before anyway. What happens if that system fails? Do we know if that system's failed? That's been there with existing technology. But it's certainly because we're relying on these technologies more and more, and they're becoming more and more prevalent.
Yeah.
That's going to become more of a thing. I think one of the big things is, how secure is that AI system?
Oh, definitely. So obviously in the past, we have had to consider cybersecurity and protecting our data and so on, you know, and obviously there's a real risk with that. However, now is seen that cybersecurity for protecting AI health and safety risks is massive, you know, because where we have AI carrying out these tasks, for example, it's a AI-driven crane in a construction site, you know, it's vitally important that you've got the right cybersecurity in place so that, that to prevent, say, that being hacked, because ultimately, say, someone could do damage if they hacked into that and cause real damage and putting people at risk, you know. But you also need to then consider, like, if it fails and stuff like that as well. It's like, what risk that can put to people. So cybersecurity is a huge risk, and something that all businesses would need to consider when using AI.
Definitely. And we've got other new hazards that this is providing as well, haven't we? The HSE have given us some insight into some of those. We've talked about the risks of, with large language models producing documents that they might not reflect the site. That's a very clear one.
Yep.
It might produce safe systems of work that actually, again, aren't specific to the task that's being done, and could therefore actually be unsafe. So it might be introducing an unsafe process rather than a safe one.
Yeah.
So it's really important to have that critical thinking from an expert that can marry that up with the process and make sure it's accurate.
Oh, definitely. And the human factor is a huge thing. That is a real risk, you know, because ultimately what we could end up doing is that you are de-skilling people, you know, so they're no longer doing the task at hand. So actually they can start to lose that knowledge, and they become over-reliant on the AI, you know, so that again opens up some huge risks that you need to consider.
So people are using AI in their business now.
Yes.
We're using it within the health and safety context, and we know it's introducing new hazards.
Yeah.
What control measures do businesses need to put in place?
Well, I think that they will definitely need to have some sort of quality assurance in place. So we like to obviously say of like having a human in the loop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you are talking about where you're maybe doing sort of like high risk activities and so on, and utilizing AI, then you may want to have your human in the loop at the end process every single time to make sure that it's providing what it's meant to be providing, or it's doing what it's meant to be doing. But even at that, if you're just using AI that fits into health and safety throughout the business, is that there needs to be those quality checks. How are you making sure that it's doing what it's meant to be doing? Do you have any sort of fail safes in place? You know, if you're using AI in any sort of automation, you know, or using robotics or anything like that, like what fail safes and so on do you have in place? If you are taken obviously away from your employees of carrying out that task, how are you going to make sure that if the employee needs to take control or be involved in that task again, that they are competent and that they're not losing that competence? So it's like, well, maybe you want to be doing what you used to do 1 hour a day and getting that person to do it. Do you know what I mean? So those are the sort of things that you would need to look at and consider and see ultimately what works best for you. But as I say, a main point is that making sure that the AI is doing what it's meant to be doing, and that you obviously have that feel safe in place if need be.
And I suppose one thing that, you know, just like normal health and safety as well, people will look to bypass controls if it can make their lives faster,
yeah,
or give them other advantages. We've seen this in parts of the world with driverless cars.
Yes.
Where control measures have been bypassed by some innovative means, and it's almost created its own little cottage industry,
yeah,
to provide those bypasses so that people can use driverless cars with the fail-safes bypassed.
Yeah.
Now, that might be great for the driver in terms of their daily life. They think that they're getting a better day. Things are faster, things are easier, they can do other tasks. But the fundamental safety control for that AI has just been bypassed, and that presents new risk. And that's, again, the same sort of thing we've always seen in health and safety.
Well, I think that fits into another control measure, which is obviously making sure that your employees are trained,
yeah,
correctly, trained to on, obviously, AI, how it works, any sort of fail safes that go with it. So that needs to be included in everything you're doing now. So inductions, refresher training, everything like that, that you need to be able to showcase of what you've done for your employees to make sure that they understand the risks and that they know the control measures and so on. So that's a massive part of what employers will need to do moving forward.
So we talked about lots of the control measures in isolation. So we've got lots of different ways a company or a business needs to consider AI and how to use it, how to control it. I think what a business needs to do is then look at that as a whole. You know, it's very easy for those little bits to get out of hand. So we should be looking at an AI policy to start with, mm-hmm, how they're going to use it, how they're going to make sure it's done right, how they're going to control the data, how they're going to control those additional risks like the cyber risks, how they're going to train their teams. You know, pull all of that information together into a policy that outlines that clearly and then act on it.
Yeah, I think so. And just... you were mentioning, obviously, the policy and so on, and data. Data is vitally important when we're obviously talking about AI, and it's really important that your data is accurate and sort of clean of the data that you're inputting into AI, because obviously if that isn't, then that can cause issues with using AI in a safe manner and so on, and if it's got obviously like false parameters, false information. I think that's really important. And as well as that, it's just understanding that, like we touched on at the very beginning, is everyone is using AI.
Yeah.
All the time, daily. It's just became part of life. So as a business owner, you need to recognise that and look to have sort of parameters or controls in place to make sure that people are using it right when it comes to in the workplace. And again, that's how we're saying that, like, maybe them having that control in place of the types of AI and stuff like that,
yeah,
that people can be using, and having your policy in place and your control measures to set out, well, yeah, it's great, we're happy for people to be using it, but ultimately here are the controls and stuff that you need to be following, you know, because again, as I say, is if we think that people aren't using it and sort of naive to that, like that is definitely not the way of the world. So having, yeah, the policy in place, having it clear, setting out, making sure everyone's trained on it, sign, yeah, it, agree it, is sort of the way to move forward.
Yeah, it's going to be crucial.
You know that we like to do a wee sort of question,
yeah,
when we do these things. So I thought that I'll do it this time round rather, okay, than... So I think you did it last time.
I think I did.
I think you did. Right, so which of these regulators is responsible for AI in the UK?
Ooh.
The HSE, the Information Commissioner's Office, Equality and Human Commission, the Financial Conduct Authority.
Can it be all of the above?
It can be all of the above.
It can be all of the above.
It can be all of the above.
My instinct is that it is all of the above because it goes through everything.
Yes, it is. It is. So AI is regulated by all existing regulators. So wherever it goes across is who will regulate it, which I think's interesting because obviously from our perspective, we would think of the health and safety executive and the risks and stuff and managing it from that side.
Yeah.
But as well as that, you need to consider everything else, data protection, financial side of things. So, yeah.
You were nasty there.
Yes, I was indeed.
I'll get you back in the next week.
We like to do a section on past, present and future, Simon. So looking at AI, where were we 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
So 10 years ago, I think it was mainly hypothetical. It was out there, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't mainstream, wasn't in our lives. You know, the most notable thing is film.
Yes.
You know, we have Terminator, the obvious one, and we have iRobot.
Fantastic film.
And very forward-thinking. I think they're highlighting some of the risks we are trying to control right now.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What do you think about present?
I mean, in the last few years, it has massively ramped up. As I say, is definitely the buzzword, and now we're seeing that it's being heavily implemented across everywhere, you know, all workplaces. So I think that we're kind of just a little bit in its infancy just now, with the work and stuff that the HSE is doing. We're trialing out a lot of things, so I think that over the next couple of years we will see it massively progress forward. And then, as I say, like future 10-15 years, how do you see it?
I think it has incredible potential that I don't think we can quite conceive of yet.
Yes.
The best picture is things like everything is connected, everything is smart in a new way.
Yeah.
So, you know, you take around an AI assistant with you all the time, which might be, you know, through your watch, it might be through imagine some little neurological implant.
Well, that's what they're looking at doing. I actually think that they're doing like human testing on that.
Just are they?
I'm sure they are.
Right. Well, in that case, it's maybe not all that far in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing, enhancing our lives, having this thing around with us all the time that gives us information rapidly and just allows us to do a lot more stuff. And have more time for ourselves. The worst case scenario, we've already mentioned, film Terminator. You know, that's what everyone goes to as this could be the end of humanity. I know governments around the world are looking at how they regulate, how they control it. It's a challenge because this thing is evolving so rapidly and, you know, regulation is slow to respond. So, you know, there is a risk of that. I think, you know, most of the people that were at the forefront of creating AI have always said that is the biggest risk. But as long as that can be controlled, the potential improvements to humanity are huge.
Yeah. So no Terminator.
No Terminator. We've talked an awful lot about things today around AI, but what are the three takeaways for any listener today?
What I would say is that go and take a look around, obviously, your workplace, identify where you are using AI. That's the first step, and then look to do AI risk assessment. You know, you want to be highlighting all the areas where you're using AI, look at obviously the risks that come with that, and then obviously highlighting your controls of how you're going to mitigate that, you know. And number three would be that you train all your staff, you know, and AI, how to use AI, what to look out for and so on, and putting that human in the loop piece. So where you are using AI, you need to have that human in the loop to make sure that it's doing what it's meant to be doing, and that if anything goes wrong, that you have sort of that fail-safe to prevent it from causing any harm to any individuals.
Thanks for joining us on Not Another Safety Talk. So today we've gone through a lot on AI, how it's coming to the fore, how it's now being approached by regulators, by the HC, what benefits it offers us and what risks it offers us. So I hope you've learned something today and you've taken away the tips to go and see how AI is used in your business and how you can move forward with it safely.